On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once, because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil, and produced fruit, 100, 60, or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The disciples approached him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look, but they do not see, and hear, but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You shall indeed hear, but not understand. You shall indeed look, but never see.' Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed was sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it with great joy, but he has no roots and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100, 60, or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord.
It's a familiar parable to us all, the parable of the sower, as well as Jesus explaining it to his disciples. But I've always been struck that even with the most familiar of stories and parables from the Bible, how different things seem to spring up out and different things seem to catch my attention. This time, towards the end, this is what caught my attention. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. We've got plenty of worldly anxieties right now, don't we? Between continuing to deal with the pandemic, racial strife in our country, economic uncertainty, and political divisions. The problem is when we dwell on those problems, when we make those kind of the focus of our time, it makes us forget the love, mercy, and protection of our God, a God who loved us before we were born, a God who only wants the best for us. Lure of riches. Now, this is not something new. Whether it's trying to move up the corporate ladder, working multiple jobs, sacrificing family time, all for the desire for more things, all for the desire of wealth. Ultimately, materialism is about focusing our lives on the things of this life, on the things of this world. Whereas we were created not for this life, but for the life to come. We were created to be sons and daughters of our loving Father. We were created to worship our God, not worship the things of this earth. And it becomes pretty obvious when we allow ourselves to be so consumed by the pursuit of wealth and material things, we forget about the true God that we should be worshiping. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In our first reading, the prophet Isaiah is pointing out how powerful God's word is. It will not return to him without making a difference. Bolstering spirits, forgiving sins, establishing peace, healing divisions, and offering the gift of eternal life. When I first started my studies in seminary, I was a little concerned about some of the academics there. Now, keep in mind, I have an engineering background. And to be perfectly honest, the classes that they made me take, they called them humanities, I just thought were just such a waste of time. But now, all of a sudden, as I entered seminary, I found myself totally immersed in a liberal arts education. Well, it quickly came to pass how ill-prepared I was. And by the way, it's one of the reasons they made me do another year than the other guys. But I quickly found out in one of my first classes, we were given a book to read, and I'm reading through it. A book obviously written by a theologian, and it kept talking about the Logos. Well, I didn't know what that word meant. So I finally had to ask someone, and they said, well, it's Greek for the word. Well, that only brought up more questions, because it seemed to be that this word, this logos, was a person. And I finally had to ask, well, who is the word? Who is this logos? And they said, well, it's the Son of God, the Word of God. And I sheepishly realize I've got a lot of work to do. But Jesus is the Word of God that goes forth from God's mouth. He is the one through whom all things were created, the one who forgives sins, the one who establishes peace, the one who heals division, and the one who offers the gift of eternal life. He is the one that Isaiah speaks of, the word that goes forth from God's mouth and will not return to God without being effective and making a difference. Jesus' parable shows just how powerful God's word is for those that accept it. 100, 60-fold, 30-fold would be the harvest. But I just said an important thing. The other thing that Jesus' parable points out, we must accept it. You see, we were all created in God's image and likeness, And one of the things that that means is we have free will. We can freely embrace our God. We can freely accept His Word. We can freely allow grace to transform our lives, our hearts, our wills, our souls. But because we have free will, we can also reject it. We can also turn our back on God's Word. We can turn our back on the transforming grace that is always, always given in the sacraments of Christ's Church. We can turn our back on the Word of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We must accept it. When we sin, we have made a decision not to accept it, not to allow Jesus fully into our lives. But luckily for us, Jesus continues to be with us, continues to show His mercy and offering to heal us, to make us whole again, so as to be receptive of the Word of God. We have a great power then, not as powerful as God's Word, but we still have that power to choose. In just a few moments, we will be encountering our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Word of God, in the Eucharist. The choice we have to make is, will we open our hearts to the transforming grace that comes along with that Word, allowing it to effectively turn us into sons and daughters of the living God, allowing us to be healed, allowing divisions to be healed? Or will we choose to close our hearts to that powerful Word of God, not allowing it to be effective, and returning God without making a difference in our lives? That is our choice. Let us choose well.